Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sundays with Sucharita here on Sunday, April 6th, 2014. I'd like to extend a warm welcome on this sunny day here in Toronto, at least, from Palai Center weekly free weekly program. This is we've been in about 3 or 4 months of meeting weekly with members from around the world, and it's so great to hear the sharings from everyone. People have the same kinds of things going on in their lives, no matter where you are, what culture you're from, or what religious background you're from. There's some sort of spiritual connection that's begging you to come and participate and listen to the participants on the program, listen to the tips and tools, and find out what Dr. Palai is up to as he's traveling around the world and opening up the special energy vortexes so that we, as followers of Dr. Palai's teachings, can get connected to him very easily. Because whenever we do the teachings, any teaching or program or service, you know, fire labs, pujas, all these things that are offered through Palai Center or Astroved, the sister company, we can get a deeper understanding. And then with that understanding comes that shift in awareness. And then that shift in awareness allows us to go deeper into our practices. And not just so that we can become more spiritual, as in, you know, spacing out or trying to escape from life, but to actually use that spiritual energy and then really manifest what it is that we want to see in our lives. And it's not the end game, you know, as they say, it's not where you end up, it's the journey. So the journey can be a little bumpy, as we've heard from people in the programs and also on these calls as well. And it can be a little bit overwhelming and upsetting for some people along the way, because as you'll you know, learn on this path and in just life in general, the bumps are there for us to slow down, take an inventory or take an introspective look and say, am I going to continue to do this over and over again, like I'm going and banging my head against the wall and nothing is happening, and yet I'm hurting my head, you know, and then finally I wake up. So we don't want to have those kinds of patterns of behavior. That's a bit rough, to say the least, and we want to create joy instead of frustration. So, you know, not just on our path, but in our lives as well. So here we are in this program where we can have an open-ended discussion and just see what's going on in the week that has passed, and then also give a heads up of what energies are available, so that if we have had those moments where, what just happened last week, we can go into this new week with a new awareness, and then you know, maybe have a new behaviors or take new steps or take a new perspective on our lives. And then always, I've just been sharing with some people this week, and it's been a bit of a turbulent week because the goddesses are really active. The goddess energy is nothing but the divine feminine. And you can call in the Asian culture, it's yin, you know, the yin and the yang. In our culture here in the West, it's a masculine, feminine. You know, in the Eastern cultures, it's the god and the goddess. So it's an energy, and that energy is to create. And so if you've been disturbed this week, it's because the goddess energy is begging you to create, because people either are flatlined in their life or they're just robotic in their life, or they're just going through the motions and saying, well, I just have to accept that this is my, you know, destiny. This is my karma, quote-unquote karma. I got to do this because of some other lifetime, or maybe this lifetime where I did something and I know exactly what it was and I can't change the past, and so on and so on. And you go rambling down that road and just becomes very unfulfilling. And then it attracts more unfavorable energies into the life. So how to break that cycle? It's a decision. It's just a decision. to switch into creation mode. Because when anyone is creating and they're not even doing anything yet, they're just thinking the thoughts. So whenever you're creating or in that mode of creation, something inspires you. So inspiration, as we all know, is just the spirit coming within. So you're open up to creativity, and then what happens? You get excited. You get joyful. There's some passion coming. You know, you want to do something different in your life. So whatever whatever it takes for you to wake up, like these sirens going by now. whenever sirens go by, I always say, oh, that's the god or the goddess coming in and saying, this is something you got to pay attention to. As Dr. Pillai has said, the goddess or the god, those archetypal beings, they will cue us. The phone will ring, the sirens will go off, the kettle will steam, you know, you'll drop something unexpectedly, the door will slam, someone will shout. It's like, hello, hello, you know, pay attention. So this must be the goddess coming through and saying, you know, pay attention to where you haven't been creating a better reality. And if you've been a bit upset or maybe despondent or, you know, depressed or argumentative or something like that, out of the normal behavior, that's okay, because the goddesses during Navaratri, spring Navaratri, is like there, this energy inside of you, this divine feminine energy is saying it's cleanup time. It's spring cleaning, as you know, like the god and goddess and everyone, you know, men will clean up whatever, their cars, their desks, their, you know, wardrobe, their, you know, offices, in the traditional sense of the word. And then the female will clean the home, and then she will, you know, nag at the guy to go and clean the garage up. So, or vice versa, whatever it is. But there is this disturbing kind of energy that says, come on, you got to clean up your messes in order for you to be creating some new space. And then you can take the steps and bring in that new manifestation. So just as you would see these external things happening in your environment and this energy to drive you to do something else, and you see it in nature. You know, in the changes of the season, especially here in North America, we've had a long, long winter. It's been a long hibernation time for a lot of people, especially in Canada. Oh, my God, on the eastern coast, you guys are amazing. You know, they're still in 2-3 feet of snow in some places on the coast. So there's a, you know, there's a lot of challenges of nature saying you got to go inside and do what it is that you need to do to manifest a better reality outside of yourself. And so then when the springtime comes, the rains come and they get everything gets washed away and cleaned up. So we're always in sync with the energy of the season, and then those seasonal changes activate something in our brain. In fact, in our pineal pituitary axis, there's chemistry that's going on, physiology that's going on, that inspires us to notice that there's a weather change, the sun is brighter, so it's time to wake up and plant some new seeds in our lives. So this is the goddess energy. She's with Durga and Lakshmi and Saraswati during these 9 nights starting last week. They've been very active on the earth plane since times immemorial, and you can believe it or not, it doesn't matter. But that energy is there, and it's there to support the destruction of negative forces or things or people in your life that are no longer presenting good behavior. Then you can say, you know what, we can't react this way anymore. We can't live this way anymore. We have to live a more divine life. It's the destiny of the whole earth plane to shift and evolve. And if you have been experiencing some shifts, some upheavals, and you just don't even know what's right or left or up or down, it's going to settle down, because now we're coming into a time where the goddess Saraswati is bringing to our attention that which we are ignoring. So she removes ignorance from our life. So whatever we're ignoring, then we go and we deal with it. And then we bring in a new ability, a new wisdom that comes in, and it gives us the ability to respond in the moment, to see what it is that we really need to stop doing. The behavior can be just even thoughts. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve this. Why is this happening to me? I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I have every right to be. I'm a divine being, and why isn't this happening? Blah, blah, blah. And you just can go and bang your head against the wall with this kind of conversation, internal dialogue, or you can even be saying it to your friends, and then their ears are falling off and don't want to talk to you eventually. And you won't blame them, right? Because who would want to after some time? So, you know, you see this in your life, and then you say, okay, finish. I've been ignoring that kind of behavior in me for too long, and I'm going to just be quiet. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to cultivate another reality. And then books will come, inspirational conversations will come. You'll watch something on PBS, on the TV, you know, you'll go to a seminar, you'll be inspired by something. You'll go into nature and hear the birds and the trees and everything else coming out and starting to, you know, break through from their hibernation, reality. And then they will, it's almost like that energy will start to wake up inside of you and say, okay, it's time for renewal. We're going to just go through this like the seasons do. The seasons just change. They don't kick and scream. They just do it. So if we as humans can come into more of a communion with what's going on in our environment and face the facts that whatever we've been doing now up until this point is no longer working for us, then we use the teachings, any teachings that Dr. Pillai has given, whether it's through a service or through fire labs or through pujas or through your meditations or through mantra practice, sound writing, the mantra writing, whatever it is, just start to take those steps to implement that into your life. And that energy will wake something up inside of you that says, okay, I'm in this time of the season or of the year to renew. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world. You can tap into that energy. Just as where Dr. Pillai is in India and he's opening up these spiritual vortexes for us, and whenever he is, anyone who is doing his teachings, as I said, will get those blessings, whether they are aware of it or not. If you're aware of it, then you can absorb more. So if he's participating now in waking up the goddesses inside of us, meaning that divine feminine, that will to create, then just go with it. Open up even more. And what do we mean by that? Just doing the sound, sitting down and doing your practice for 10 minutes instead of getting on the phone and doing what you do is to cultivate the gossip or whatever it is. And shouldn't worry about that. Dr. Pillai says, you know, gossip is so fulfilling. It's like, it's entertaining when you look at it in the sense of it, if you were your own reality TV show where you just can't even help yourself, right? But the thing is that after a while, he says you shouldn't do it because you just notice how the energy shifts and how good or bad you feel about that whole situation. So as time goes on, you'll check yourself. And, the goddess now in these next, since last night and then the following two nights, you're going to experience the goddess Saraswati. So let's get into Saraswati's energy, which is to remove that which you have been ignoring. So getting caught up in all the pulls and destructive behaviors or thoughts or even in your own environment, she will give you the energy to be able to be really wise and choose your words wisely, be very diplomatic, be very polite, even if the people who you're interacting with are not receptive to you. It's so, so important to understand that it's not about right or wrong. Those people are on their own path. They've got their own things to deal with, karmically speaking, or spiritually speaking, or just in this realm of desires that need to be fulfilled. And maybe we have to just step back and not judge it, and then see what it is that we need to see, and then take the steps to choose what is the best thought. Because after the best thought, then the right action comes. It follows immediately. So it might be to zip the lips, right? And just, note to self, no judging, no going into, oh my God, why is he or she saying that? Just putting unconditional love and support. Coming from you? No. It's coming from the divine. So you just call on the goddess Saraswati, and she will help you to remove that ignorance, get it out of the way, and then go into that state of receptivity where creative energy is flowing through. And then allow that energy to guide you to do the right next step. And you may not be speaking to anyone and having this kind of situation going on. It may be an internal thing. So you're sitting there alone in your space and you're going, oh, I wish I had this and that and the other thing. And it just becomes a self-destructive conversation. And then how can you create and think about and get excited about what it is that you want to manifest? So let's get into a state of receptivity and call on the goddess. Today we're going to call on all divine aspects of Saraswati. One is Sucharita Saraswati and one is Anuradha Kramana Saraswati. And those are the goddesses of the Golden Age. And Dr. Pillai introduced them several years ago. In fact, just right after he introduced Sucharita Saraswati, he gave me that name. And as I mentioned before on a call, when the name, with every name comes an energy or a power or an empowerment, and it causes you to, people in your lives to see you differently, to act towards you differently because of the energy coming through. And there was a beautiful sharing from one of the members that you're welcome to listen to on the recording as well. So we'll bring in the goddess Saraswati and bring in the Golden Age aspects of Saraswati, Sucharita Saraswati, and Anuradha Kramana Saraswati. We'll talk about them after the meditation and then just see what the members have experienced. For those of you who need to go, thanks for joining, and you can listen to the rest of the recording. It'll be posted to the blog. And enjoy the last couple of nights of Saraswati. You can find out about that through Pillai Center. There's offerings there, the Navaratri webcast from last year, Navakari. Sounds are so powerful. The teachings there have been the first time Dr. Pillai has given it out. And then you can do that practice and continue on with the goddess, because if you're feeling that your life isn't, you're not able to manifest in your life, it's because the goddess is not there. So that energy has to come through you, and then it will help you to create a better reality. So work with the goddess energy from this point onwards, and then let us know how it goes. And for those of you who are going to be participating in the conversation today and looking forward to hearing what your experiences has been, and then we can talk about what lies ahead for this coming week. It's a really powerful week, meaning that as the sun is moving into towards the final phase of this last stage of the 12th house, it's coming into the last stage or phase or movement or transit. And it's activating all this spiritual energy in all of us. So that when the sun moves into Aries, which is next Sunday, fabulous, we get to be together at that point. That's where you're going to be really empowered because it's in its most exalted position. And then Radha, who is our Vedic astrologer, she's going to give us a little talk on what to expect with that energy and what we can do with that energy more so in our lives for the next 30 days. And not only that, it's the start of the Vedic New Year, meaning it's the start, it's like the start of where the sun moves through the zodiac. And it inspires us because it's moving in the first house, which is all about who we are. And so it's perfect that you're going to be focusing on bringing all that spiritual energy in this next week for the final week of the movement through the 12th house. And then using that spiritual energy to show the world who we are, show ourselves who we are, and then show the world who we are. But it gives us the energy to do that. Because we can have all these great thoughts about ourselves and what we want to do and what we want to manifest, but then how do we express that to others and how do we express it in our lives as in our manifestations, our creations. So the sun being in Aries is the start of the Vedic New Year. So it's like we get to break through and be something different and be transformed and use that energy of the sun being exalted in Aries. So that's what's going to happen next Sunday. So let's talk about what's been happening with everyone here, and then I'll touch on what lies ahead this week. Oh, we'll do a combination of both. So all you need to do is press *6 once, and that should open the line. And you're never really interrupting anything that I say. So please go ahead at any moment in time. If I'm having a conversation with someone, then respectfully just pause and wait till that conversation is finished. And then we'll go on and you can comment on it or say whatever it is that you want to say or ask a question. So the line should be open if someone can just press *6 and let me know that it is technically open. Would someone be able to just do that? Say hi. Oh, dear.
Hi, Sutrita.
Oh, hi. Who's this? Hello? Oh, dear.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Who's this?
Yay, this is Shanti.
Ah, Shanti. I thought that was you.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Good to hear your voice.
Good. I'm so excited to have made it on this call today. And it was so exciting to have it be about Saraswati. I was like, yay, this is the best day ever. So very, very, very thankful for that and for that wonderful meditation. So thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. And you of all people, you are the goddess Saraswati. You know, being in music, song, and dance, it's like the
That's
goddess
I was
is calling
laughing.
You.
I'm like, oh my gosh. I was thankful to her for having me do that because I was like, today was the day. I'm like, you could do this today. Today I actually have time. And I was so excited. So let me tell you, because then you said you were talking about all the upheavals and the movement and the shifting of things.
Sure.
That's been really, I don't know what, I don't want to say it, I'm just going to say it like how it feels. Mm-hmm. It's pretty fierce. There's a mm-hmm. fear, there's a little bit of an intensity of, And it feels so confident. It feels like it's coming from such a solid place where I'm like, I need to do this, and this needs to happen. And it's not coming from a will place. It's kind of from a deeper standpoint. And yesterday was quite the tumultuous day where I've been living with someone for a while, and then I literally threw him out. And I allowed myself to get so angry. I don't think I've ever been this angry at anyone, like, since my dad when I was a kid. So, I allowed myself, I'm not saying this is great or anything, but But in a way, I feel like it is. I feel relieved. I feel like I needed to go there. And I don't know. I feel like there's my head part that's going, well, maybe I should feel bad about the fact that it went down like this. But I don't feel bad about it. I just was pushed. It just got to a point where it was a breaking point for me, where I'm like, I can no longer withstand this anymore. I can no longer be in this position where I'm feeling depleted and feeling pulled upon it into a black hole kind of situation, and it's not my responsibility, and I don't want to be in it anymore. And I had been trying very nicely for weeks to, go coddle through this process and make it okay and make it, and it just, I was pushed to a breaking point yesterday where I was like, this is never ending, and the only person that can end it is me. Like, I need to finally stand up and say, okay, get out. Like, I need peace. I can't do this. You need to go get some help. I can't help you. And I have to say, even though that sounds harsh, and I don't know if you guys are going to think that's horrible or not, I feel so good about it. I feel really, I do. I feel thankful and relieved. And when you were talking today about how you just get, there's a point where you just can't allow these things to happen in your life all the time. You can't keep justifying things. You can't keep overlooking them and making up excuses for why, you're in this position or why someone else is treating you the way they are or whatever. And you just kind of have to get to a point where you're like, okay, enough. I'm going to take the reins back a little bit and stop this. And I feel like, I don't know, is that poignant to what you were saying, or am I feel like it's just not very spiritually sounded when I talk about it. That's why I'm like, but
Well,
it,
yeah, go ahead.
go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I'm so glad that you did share this because it, although it sounds or it may look to others as to be quite harsh, as you said, you don't even feel bad about it. The thing is that we can never, first thing is, we never can judge another person until we walk in their shoes. And, it sounds to me like from what you're sharing, you got to this point. I loved what you said. You said it was a breaking point. I had to break physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually. You had to break that energy that was constantly pulling you to be in this situation where you were no longer useful or no longer helpful. And you had to say to yourself, oh my God, I have to just give this up because it's not going to help me. And it's not going to help the other person to grow either. And then that's when you said, I had something, this fierce confidence. That's what the goddess is. Everybody thinks, oh, the goddess and the feminine, it's so receptive and so lovey-dovey and unconditional and blah, blah, blah. You see a mother with a child and someone is coming at the mother and the child, if they're going after the kid, that mother will turn into, like, scary. Right?
Yes,
She
yes.
will not let anyone come near her child. She will die before her child is, attacked by
I have
something.
never seen myself react that way, and it was. And I have to tell you, the more I let myself express what I was feeling, the stronger I felt. I was watching myself because I'm very sensitive, and I'm extremely, like, I can feel this person I've been sitting next to. I can literally feel energy leaving my body and going into his. Like, and I won't even be touching it. There's just, it's a constant drain, and it's like the opposite of Reiki. I feel like it's leaving and going into someone else at rapid pace, and it's been really difficult for me. And so the minute I started expressing, I felt stronger and stronger and stronger, and I saw a rage inside of me, just like you said, just like that, like a mother going, you're not touching her anymore, and you are not doing this anymore. Yeah, I have never seen myself react that way, but go
It's
ahead.
great, and it's great that you can step out, be in that moment, and step outside as an observer so that you're not too attached to the outcome. Because, see, the outcome could be different. it could have woken him up and said, oh my God, I never realized we have to do something else. What can we do to get moving forward?
Yeah.
So the outcome could have been so many different outcomes. However, the outcome for you was the perfect thing for you. So I'm just going to say to you, you shouldn't feel good or bad about it. It's just what it had to happen. And then as that happened, just as you break through, a wall, there's a mess to clean up after. So, but you had to break through that wall because that's what was needed to do so that you could get to, you know, see all the stuff that's that force, that internal wall that's been built up to not allowing that creative energy to be expressed and not allowing that other stuff to get out too that is no longer useful for you. If you're going to do renovations to your house and open have an open concept where everything is all seen and it's so fun and there's lots of movement, you got to bust some walls down, right?
Yep.
So it does take that energy, but again, you know, with your awareness, and I'm so happy that you expressed that too, Shanti, is that you were really mindful about it so that you didn't go overboard and, you know, because tongue, anything we say, that is the sharpest weapon and it lasts forever. We can never take those words back. So, you know,
and
we
I did say intense things, though, Sucharita, and he at one point said, I want you to apologize for saying that, and I felt it in my body, and I said, I am not apologizing because I'm speaking truth. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying anything to be unkind. I'm speaking the truth.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what's happening, and I'm sorry that hurts you, but it's the truth for
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really a real intense moment. And I don't know. Usually if I do something that is off, I have a pit in my stomach, and I feel horrible about it. It's like I do not feel any of that. I feel completely, and I don't feel righteous or justified either. I feel, I just feel like it was truth, and it needed to be finally verbalized, and that's and I feel good about
that. I'm very happy for you, and if you said that you needed that peace, you know, peace is what we need in the whole world. So, you know, we start with ourselves first, and it is a bit of a battle, and, you know, that's what was created by you. That situation was created by you initially, and you had the ability or the intelligence to see that it's no longer going to be fruitful for either people, and so you took the steps to move on, and who knows if it was that inner child in you, like you said, you've never been so mad since you were a child with your father, right? So even that can be cleaned up and released as well. So, you know, be thankful to this person that pushed your button to that point of it being all coming out. And then down the road, you'll be able to, do the things that you need to do to maybe to reconcile that mm-hmm. inside of yourself, even though if you never speak again, you know, the divine has gotten you to this point, and trust, everybody should trust in the divine and in the divine feminine that this is what she needed to do, that energy needed to do that to balance, bring things into balance. Justified or not, it doesn't matter. Just to bring it back into balance and perspective. And then as you move forward in your life, it's only when we look back that we can see, oh, that was the perfect thing, and now maybe if I need to clean it up, I need to clean it up. But we won't know until we move forward.
Mm.
So just moving forward will allow that space, that clearing, just as we would bash up the walls to you know, redecorate, renovate.
Yes, and there's, like, stuff everywhere and piles of debris, and it looks horrible, and you're terrified of what did I do? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's a good internal spring cleaning.
Yeah.
And
no
I
kidding.
I wish you all the best, and I'll be in touch with you anyway, Shanti, moving forward.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I love you, and I'll
love listening. You too. Okay. Take care, hon. That was great. Is there anyone who has anything to share about that or would like to say anything that they've been going through? I think someone else came on at the same time. You just pressed star 6 once.
Hello?
Yes, who's this?
Hi, Cecilia.
Oh, hi, Owen.
Well, I'm clearing a place there where I think Saraswati is also connected with the throat.
Oh, tell me.
Yeah. So, indeed, I felt when the lady was speaking that, you know, when we experience the truth, as she was saying, there is also this sense of victory, of success. What we, you know, I recognize it in business, for instance, or in other aspects of life, that when you come to that point of truth, it reflects, it's a kind of the success and the truth. It all comes together. There is victory. And then there is this amazing release of energy. I'm talking from my own experience. I don't know. I felt that kind of energy was going through this person also. And I'm so glad for her that she recognized that energy and, you know, decided to act on it. That's what I wanted to say. And, well, as far as experience, I had a lot of experiences, most of them very positive. Also, bumping into people, and I realized that they have to come into my life to release that energy in me. Forget about them. It's about yourself, what you can do with the energy. They have their own responsibility. But it's not that harsh, as I say. There is a lot of compassion, of course, that goes with it. Yes, Saraswati has blessed me a lot in my life, and an incredible, you know, beautiful experiences of light. And I had my eyes closed, and as you were speaking, I was literally experiencing many aspects of what you were saying, especially the light and transcending the body completely, and beautiful. Yeah, Saraswati. And I'm very grateful to Pillai because he brought an aspect of meditation to my life that I did not have for a long time since I started my road in this life. And that path took me along many masters that I have personally and in the scripture have come across. There's so much to say, and I think this is enough for today. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you, Erwin. And I loved what you said about the victory, because that's at the end of the nine nights and all the way through. There are, you know, it's like a battle going on, an energetic battle going on. So there's small victories throughout, because as the time goes by, that karma gets, you know, lands on us, but then it also gets cleared if we want to clear it, the goddess energy. So at the end of the nine nights, there is, and on the tenth night, actually, there is a celebration that they have that's called victory. It's the victory of intelligence, ruling the super intelligence or the intelligence of truth coming through, and that's what gets revealed, and that's the truth of the process of transformation that happened during those nine battle nights. So the truth gets revealed.
Well, I said, well spoken. That's exactly the experience, yes.
Yeah. So it's great that you use that word victory. So everybody who's listening, that there are small victories in our lives every day, and just see those victories, be aware of them, and don't be defeated by maybe the overall doom and gloom that may be looming over you or, you know, moving through you. Or as you said too, Erwin, you said, you know, I'm bumping up against people and grateful because they are pressing that button that needs to be released, that crap, you know, the stuff out of your life that's no longer useful. Otherwise, if you never bumped up against them, you wouldn't grow. You know, you wouldn't move forward, and your truth wouldn't be revealed, because it is. It is all about you. It's all about me. It's all about everybody who's working towards bringing more truth and more light and more intelligence into the to their world, to themselves, and then it pours out into the world. Then that truth gets revealed, and then we stand up. And even you can see it in the world now. Like there, everyone is standing up and fighting. Like how many countries and cities and demonstrations of people that we've seen that are saying, "No way, we're not doing this anymore." All at once in the world. Usually in the past, it's been here and there, but now it's because of the internet. That thanks to the goddess Sucharita Saraswati and Anuradhakramana Saraswati, they're connecting everyone globally. So no one can get away with murder, literally in the sense as well, in the figurative sense. Nobody can get away with that negative energy anymore or those bad behaviors anymore. So the whole Big Brother's not watching you. The whole world is watching each other. And everyone, every divine being is coming through people and saying, you know what? No more. We can't have that anymore. We can't have poverty anymore. We can't have war-torn people anymore because they can, we've seen in the generations before, they can leave those places, bring more, you know, get educated, be safe, and then grow up and raise children, you know, the next generation in a safe place. But then those kids will say, you know what, I want to go back to my roots. And, you know, where my ancestors came from, and they want to clean that up. And because more intelligence is coming through and the technology is there to easily get us to be able to connect with people across the world without having to physically go there and make an impression and stand up. So it is. It's like victories are happening every day in the golden age. It's such a blessing, Erwin. Like you said, you've committed your whole life to the spiritual path, met many different masters, studied with them, read the masters who have gone before us, and that you see that Dr. Pillai is really amping it up and saying, how can you participate? How can you really participate? Instead of being a student anymore, how can you be now becoming more and more of a master, mastering your own self? So it's great that you said that about Dr. Pillai, because he's really bringing in that intelligence, and we're going to see it more and more on the world stage. He'll be more and more acting on a world stage. And,
very unique. His teaching is very unique. He brings a lot of things together because most of the things that he speaks about, I've heard them before, but not in the same context, you know, and. Yes, you have received some knowledge at that level then, but it's like it was his specific time, his timing, as he talks about timing many times, you know. Like, it was this specific time that he comes in, and then the energy is just aligned with him, or he aligned with the energy. And it's just, yeah, it's remarkable how it works, you know.
Absolutely.
I can tell you many, as you say, miracles. They start small, but because of the continuance of it, I know that, hey, and if everything that is small can become big. It's about your own intention. So, yes, he creates indeed. He is a good channel for miracles, and depending on our own thing, of course, karma, whatever, you know, it takes you this long or that long, or it's so big or this small. All those proportions are, you know, related to the people that are involved, you know, and I feel that he is a very, very special guy, and he's bringing in stuff that I think indeed is going to be expressed on the world stage. And, you know, another thing, is he more in the United States that people can meet him also in the United States? I really, really love to meet him.
Yeah, it's a great question because he's traveling here and there, and I think he'll be in the States soon. It's great that you've brought up about time jumping because he's going to be doing a live webcast It's about time jumping, and it's also about Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, and it's about city powers and the light body, and that's going to be a lot. It's called a master class live event on April 26th, and if you go, it's going to be sent out, or maybe it already has been sent out through Pillai Center or Asurved. Check your newsletters or jump onto that site.
I got it, yeah.
Yeah, so everyone else too, this is a really good opportunity for you to get some live teachings from him through the internet, of course. But if you want to meet him in person, what I would say to you, as I say to everyone, including myself, this is how I met him. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. And when that moment for you to connect physically is ripe, it will happen. It will happen in the most unusual but the most rewarding way. You wouldn't have wanted it to happen any other way.
Yeah.
So you can, you can sign up for an event, and you can do that through Pillai Center. You can be in communication with office at Pillai Center, support at Pillai Center, find out where he's going to be doing the next event. But the newsletters pretty much tell where he's going to be. You know, he was in India for several months. He was doing the millionaire yoga programs because that's the first time he's introduced teachings to India, to the culture there. So he's spending probably 50% time in India, 50% in, the West, meaning Europe, and here in North America. So to answer your question, it's going to be up to you to find out when you're going to be able to go see him. Some people have said, oh, I'll never be able to go to India because it's too far and this and that, and all of a sudden they see themselves going. So, leave it open to that, to the goddess to show you how and when.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's where he's going to be. He's going to be on the West Coast, California. Maybe not in a public event, but he will definitely be putting this live event on. And then some people even were just vacationing in a place where he was, like in Europe. Someone had found out while they were in London, oh, he's having a seminar at some expo, health expo or something like that. And they ended up meeting him. So it's going to be very – and then there's others who meet him in, seminars that he puts on either in New York or sometimes he puts them on in California. He has in the past put them on in Toronto. You just never know what he's going to do.
By the way, is there any fire lab or something like that in New York or near New York?
Yes, there is. I'm not sure if you can actually go there physically. Venkatesh at Pillai Center is who you would email. Venkatesh, V-E-N.
Yeah.
Venkatesh, K-A-T-E-S-H, at PillaiCenter.com. He's one of the teachers, and he also does fire labs in New York. But I'm not sure if you can actually go to the place where he does them. But you can definitely listen to them on the teleconference.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to do them here in Toronto, and people used from all around the world used to feel like they were in my, living space where I was doing them. So it's almost like you can get transported. And two, there was someone else on the call who had been, who went to a temple, I forget which city it was, but they just went to a temple and then they were able to participate in those fire labs there, but not, they weren't, Dr. Pillai's fire labs or facilitated by the teacher.
There are several of them here in Queens. You have some.
Yes, the Ganesha Temple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're quite big temples, in fact.
Yeah. So, in fact, that was one of the first places that Dr. Pillai did teachings. That was for, people like myself who were introduced many, many years ago. I would jump in the car and drive in the middle of the night and go to Queens just for him to do a puja or a fire lab, and then we would go and visit the temple.
Okay.
So, that's bringing back some lovely memories. So if you went, and I just wanted to say one more thing, You know, you were saying you were very grateful to Dr. Pillai for bringing these teachings. And, you know, the teachings are anything you've done up until this point, anyone, whether you've been with Dr. Pillai or you're just meeting him for the first time and being introduced to the teachings, it is because your soul is ready to integrate this knowledge in a way that is really useful for you or practical.
Yeah. I agree, yeah.
Yeah. So, and maybe just before you go, Erin, maybe you can share one thing that recently, let's just say, has happened to you where, you know, you've been using the sounds or using the mantras or the practices, and what have you felt or what have you experienced? Is it more of an internal transformation, or is it more of a external, what you're seeing in your environment shift, or is it a combination?
You know what I experience a lot is that there is such an overwhelming, what transpires during the day. There are events of things that are very, very concrete. But in fact, what I should do is write it down because they come and they go. And sometimes my wife asks me, "But tell me exactly what?" And I say, "Well, you know, it was so." I could have told you that, but it's like completely disappears. And I have it with many. There is one event that happened that I didn't want to talk about it because it's, but maybe I should, right?
Mm-hmm.
You won't believe it, but it's true. Really, you won't believe it, but it's true. I was walking down street here in New York and Brooklyn where I live. I don't know if I should.
You don't have to if you don't feel comfortable, but if you do.
It's in a way that I just found $500 just like that.
How? What happened? Now you got us going. Come on.
You won't believe it. But something happened. I was thinking of Muruga.
Okay.
And I was talking about success to him and so on. And without, this is true what I'm telling you. It's like I lost consciousness for like two, I thought it was 1 second, but it must have been longer. And then I was standing outside of this place that was selling, New York lottery tickets, right?
Okay.
So I bought a ticket, came outside, was not aware of it, but I end up with winning $500.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, it was freaky. That's why I say I don't even want to. It was really crazy.
Wow! And did you remember? Did you remember doing it?
Well, like, I had it in my hand, and I was just like, "Why did I buy this? When did I buy this?" Kind of like you were in a space that you were not aware of doing it. Really, sometimes it happens in meditation. You're somewhere that you don't know where you were.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the experience that I got. I knew I did it, but I could not put myself paying the $1 that the ticket cost. But like half an hour later, I turn on my computer and I saw I won $500.
Wow. Now, do you recall what the conversation or the dialogue that you had with, for people who don't know Muruga? Muruga is he's the divine archetype who gives courage and strength. And
Yes, there are two archetypes that I love a lot or more, but especially Muruga because I have a well-positioned Mars, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I relate very, very easily and quickly with that energy. It just comes in very fast. And it turned into a consciousness of being light, and I can see his shape very easily in my third eye, but it is nicer when he just becomes like light, the consciousness of light. And then the second one is Saraswati. And so that's what I have seen very, very, very clearly. Not in this week, but before. But because I have an exalted Mercury, I think. Something like that. I think that's Saraswati may be connected. So, again, those two planets are pretty well positioned, I think, in my astrology. So they appear. And with Saraswati, it's like, that's the way I created a company, really have an experience with her. That's years ago. It didn't become that successful, but it's still there. It paid for my stay in this country for quite some years. And a lot of money has been other people. I just let it go. It's not mine anymore. It's just shareholders that took it and went with it. Why I say that? Because these things, when I talk about Pillai making me aware of things, these aspects specifically were not very clear to me before. And as he comes into my life, I see a lot of things that happened in the past in a different context. And miraculously, I then see, I'd say, the hand of God or the archetypes or the energy. I see that hand in a lot of things that have happened. Very, very concrete.
That's fantastic. That's
so
fantastic.
So what you're asking me, yes, this really happened this week. I think it happened on Thursday, because that's a day that I think Pillai told me in one of these courses. He said that, Muruga, it's a good day to think about Archetype Muruga, or it was...
Yes, the sixth moon. I'm just looking at it now.
At the sixth, okay, there you go.
There you go, and sixth moon is related to Lord Muruga, and also the birth star, Mrigasira, is also related to Mars, and then Mars energy is the overlord is Muruga. So you had a lot of Muruga happening, and then Lakshmi was being celebrated as well. So putting those two together, boom, bingo.
Yes. And Lakshmi, I took a whole night with her. So that whole night before I was, having the chant on.
Oh, wow. That's great. So there's a testimony, everyone. And it doesn't sound so strange to me, although you might feel like it is strange. That's the goddess in action.
Yes. And in the moment, it's like, hey.
It's surreal, right?
Am I in a trip here or what? Did I take LSD or
ayahuasca? Oh, okay. No, we don't want to encourage that.
No, of course not. No, but I mean, it's kind of what I mean is this a hallucination or what?
Right. Right. Yeah. Pinch myself. Did it really happen?
Yes, I'm still here and I'm speaking.
Oh, well, I'm so happy for you and congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, well, thanks for sharing too, Erwin. It's really great.
Yeah, a lot of things happened, and thanks to Pillai. He's a great man.
Fabulous. Well, enjoy your week and finishing off with the goddess and then into the new Vedic New Year.
Yes, and that new goddess you were talking about, one is Sucharita, I know that one, but the other one, Radha something.
Anuradha, Kramana Saraswati. I'll put it on the blog, we'll write it out, and then you can... There's not too much that Dr. Pillai is saying about her because her energy is still coming in. So, but he's introducing her every year, more and more.
Anuradha. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a birth star, Anuradha birth star, and then Anuradha birth star is also the star for Lakshmi. So there's kind of like this secrets will be revealed, more information will be revealed. But just work with that energy. I don't know if you felt a difference from the I'm Saraswati mantra to then Sucharita Saraswati was a different energy, and then Anuradha Kramana Saraswati. Did you feel any difference in those?
The Anuradha, the first one, Sucharita, went, that was a blazing, like goldish type of light I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And then Anuradha was more, that was softer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the white, more white.
Mm-hmm. So maybe with your experiences, maybe if you're chanting those mantras, because Saraswati has been good for you in your birth chart, then, you know, work with those two. Add the Sucharita and the Anuradha Kramana Saraswati here to your practice.
So Anuradha Kramana?
Yeah. K. So Anuradha is A-N-U-R-A-D. H A,
yeah.
And then Kramana, K R A M A N A.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll put it on the blog as well.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity.
Oh, thank you for sharing, Erwin. Good luck.
You too.
Thanks.
Thanks. I'm going off.
Oh, these are great sharings. Anyone else wants to ask a question or share? Okay, I'm just going to say a couple more things, and you can interrupt me because I'm interruptible. No problem. So Lord Rama's birthday is coming up on the 8th. So if you are Rama's energy, as Dr. Pillai mentions, you can go on to astroved.com. They always have great writings about the different archetypes, and then they have the services and different offerings that you can get involved in. Or it just gives you this awareness when we read about these archetypes, they become more alive. And then when we speak about them, they become even more alive. So their energy just kind of keeps moving through you because it's a consciousness. Right, so whatever you put your attention to, then that will kind of resonate with you or stick with you. So as Dr. Pillai mentions in one of the videos, there's little video clips that he has on Astroved. And also if you go on to PillaiCenter.com, YouTube, he speaks about the different archetypes as well. So Rama, Lord Shiva, who's the ultimate in the divine beings, he says that the word Ram, the sound Ram, preceded the being. So Rama is historically speaking, is the God-man who didn't realize he had the abilities, or he was so empowered to have the divinity to do miracles in the everyday life. So he became that influence in the life of the people at that time, that you could resonate with God's energy and bring a heaven on earth type of situation. And so, you know, you can read the Ramayana. That's one of the epics in the Hindu pantheon. It's really powerful when you read it. It's you actually, as Erwin was saying, you get transported into that place and that time, just as you would in a movie. You know, for those couple of hours that you're immersed in it, you become, emotionally involved or activated. It's not just entertainment. It's, you can feel different things going on and different thoughts that come to you about your own life and things like that. So when you read these spiritual books, they really impact your spiritual path because these are the God men or the God people that brought in a lot of divinity into the world at the time when it was needed, and to clean up all the negativity as well. That's represented through the characters. It's a thick book, and I read it many, many years ago. I was one of those people who just like was like a kid and just so thirsty for that knowledge. But when I came out of it, I remember Dr. Pillai, we were walking in at Niagara Falls, and we were just taking a walk with a small group of people, maybe 8 or 9 of us. And he had done a seminar that weekend. He said, I want to go to the falls. And later on, we found out that there's more secrets to the falls. But so when we were walking along, he said, hey, have you read the Ramayana? I said, oh, I read the Ramayana. I was like, ooh, I'm a student. And then, so he was telling, what did you learn, this and that, and there was another person walking next to, on the other side of Dr. Pillai, and so we were having a little conversation about Rama. And it was really powerful because what happened during that little interchange is that it really brought that energy to life. And being with the master, Dr. Pillai, at that time, he woke that up inside of me, which was now I can see many years later, was that ability and understanding to know that it doesn't matter what you're doing now in your life or how long you've been on the spiritual path, in this moment that you're receiving any information, it's going to wake something up inside of you that is so divine. And that is your everyone's divine birthright, is to be divine, to live a divine life. And so Ram, the sound Ram or Rama, gives you that strength and courage and ability to, you know, overcome your karmic challenges, dissolve away your obstacles, and live a life that is divine. And so he said that, again, Lord Shiva said, Ram preceded the person. So think of it as, I think of it as anyways, and this is just my little take on it, but I see it as, hey, we're presented with this stuff all the time, and there will be a time where it clicks. Something inside of us just clicks, and maybe it's that time that we start to realize, okay, you know what? I've been working on trying to manifest a good life, pay my bills, do this, do that, get a higher education, get a better job, you know, meet the right person, have a family, do all these things, or maybe not, still haven't done that, and I'm wallowing in whatever mire I'm in. You know, again, like Shanti said, you just have to stop it. Breakthrough, stop, no more, end. And realize that divinity. Realizing it doesn't mean, oh, thinking about it. Yeah, to some level, yes, but recognizing that when I use a mantra or when I work with an archetype, then that energy is going to come before. It's already there. It's been there, but I'm just waking up to it. So Ram precedes the person who gets born into this lifetime. So, you know, the sounds are always there. Then we get born into it, or we wake up to it, or we're born again, as they say in Christianity. You know, we wake up, or this intelligence inspires us to access more and more knowledge about it, and then that empowers us. So if you haven't woken up to what is inside of you that needs to be revealed so that you can live a more fulfilled life, divine life, bringing that 100% spiritual, 100% material into your world as you know it now, then Lord, celebrate, go and celebrate Lord Rama's birthday. You can do it through just chanting the sound Ram or Rama, Rama, Rama. Dr. Pillai has put out some mantras on it. There's some writing about it through Asavet or PillaiCenter.com. You can go to Fire Lab through San Diego Hope Center or through Grace Lake Global Groups. That they have Fire Labs going on, as I mentioned to Erwin about Venkatesh. He's putting them on. There may be even free Fire Labs on the internet. And so participating in those, I've been in on the other side of the world where they are being done. I've done them in my own place here in Toronto. And then I watch it on the YouTube or the internet, the webcast, and the energy is the same. You just put your mind and attention on it, and all of a sudden you kind of disappear, boundaries disappear, you know, physical boundaries disappear, and your mind gets expanded, and then you just open up, and then that intelligence comes through. You may not be able to articulate it, but you might feel it. Or something that's said during that time where you go, wow, I wonder why I'm really thinking about that all the time, that sound or that being, or just remembering the melody of it. It's like that's how the divine speaks to us. It speaks to us in the language of the sacred sounds. And then the sacred sounds have a harmony or a beat or a sound to it, a rhythm to it, and then that moves through us. And then sound and light, like Erwin was saying, that light gives us intelligence. It makes sense what Dr. Pillai said. When you go into a dark room with a match or just a candle, you can see some stuff, maybe like your hand or just maybe about a foot around you or a few inches, but you don't see. And then you take a flashlight, you see some more. You take a bigger light, you see more. You turn the lights on in the room, you see more. You put a studio movie set lights. Oh, my God, nothing can be, everything is seen, nothing can be hidden, right? So that's how the divine is. It's a light that's so highly tuned or highly energized or highly empowered that you don't even see what it's doing. Like, you know, when you stick your the remote to turn on the TV or to turn on the computer if you have a remote for your computer, and it's the infrared light that does that thing. How does it do it? Oh, my God, you could, you know, who cares? It's just doing it, right? Or the laser surgery now that they have. You know, you don't see it, but that light is doing the work. So that, you know, when you get into those higher vibrations or frequencies of light, that's where intelligence comes. And it's not the same as what our brain picks up, as in, you know, formal education or training or something like that. That's just on the human level. But now we're going, we want super intelligence. So Rama's birthday is coming up, and that's on Tuesday. So if you want to participate in that, go read more about it on Astrovet and Pillai Center. And then again, as I said, that's a free webcast on April 26th. It's a masterclass live event. That's what it's called. And Dr. Pillai is going to introduce new teachings on timeline jumping, Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, City Powers, and the Light Body. And then that's going to lead into, for those of you who are ready, and, you know, both financially and spiritually, it's a big commitment. It's a full year to do the full year light body program that people have been joining for the past couple years since he's introduced it. And this year might be your year to do it. There's also going to be programs going out that are millionaire yoga programs. Those are out right now, and they're self-study. So you can do it at your own pace, and then just go on to PillaiCenter.com and find out about that. The new You program is self-study. Find out about that. Phonemic intelligence. People have been asking, you know, I want to give back. I want to do something where I've been practicing the sounds, and I've heard how this is helping other people. The phonemic intelligence is a program that has been going through volunteers. You can offer the program at schools during their recess or lunch breaks, and it only takes a few minutes with the kids, but they have tremendous results. And those are the same programs that are going on since many, many years, 20, 25 years in India, bringing the intelligence into kids who have been in really impoverished situations. And now, as I mentioned before on one of the calls, there's one of the kids who's grown up. She's just doing her master's now. She's been accepted into a master's program. So this is a kid coming from like really, really extreme impoverished conditions, but doing the sounds every day helped her to get through her schooling and improve her own self-esteem. And now she's going to do her master's, and you know, she wants to make changes in her community when she completes her education. So that's just one of the little miracles. But can you imagine if all kids all around the world were getting these sounds? And it's really simple. So you can find out about that, how you could volunteer, put together a program, because they have little pilot studies. So you don't have to commit for a long time. You can just introduce it, and then they can continue it on. So find out about that on phonemicintelligence.org. Is there anyone coming on? Oh. All right. So I think I've said everything that I want to say. Of course, it's always a great time when you feel like you've been receiving so much grace in your life and miracles in your life, and a way to give back always, or paying it forward, as they say that movie was based on, you know, when you come out of really difficult challenges and then you just want to do something that's going to help someone else, go to TripuraFoundation.org and participate in any of those programs that Dr. Pillai has championed and put forth, you know, for people like yourself and myself, where we can't necessarily, we don't have the time or the energy to do some volunteering in our community, or we don't have the resources, you know, to make that happen. It's really great that it's offered through the internet, and knowing that people who are representing Dr. Pillai and bringing the teachings to these kids and to these elderly people and all the different programs, feedings, you know, there's a great time that you can do, actually Tritya is a time where you can, if you've been trying to work on manifesting wealth and it's just not staying with you, it comes and goes, right? Who doesn't know that or hasn't experienced that? Akshaya Tritya is May 2nd. You can read about it on astroved.com or applycenter.com. And it will help you to have the consciousness to never deplete your wealth. So it will always keep accumulating. You know, as Erwin was saying, he's a businessman, and business people always want to expand the business, keep the money flowing in to expand it, to give the services, to get it more widespread. You know, make it your business in your own personal life to expand that consciousness that will help you to keep attracting more profitable situations, to develop savings consciousness, and never, ever deplete your wealth. And I've been participating in Akshaya Tritya either in person in India when I've been there. And the celebrations there, they're called pujas, meaning pu is the word for flowers. So they offer flowers to the divine, and then the symbols are the archetypes that come through. It's kind of strange, but to some. But now that I've been doing it for many years, I'm just falling in love with the cow pujas. They offer these flowers and other things to the cows, and then to the elephants and to the horse. And when I was just there last year in India, and Dr. Pillai had said, you know, go down with a couple of people that I was staying with, and then who work for Dr. Pillai as well. We went down to this place in southern India, and there was special puja going on and fire lab going on, and it's just incredible. It's like you're stepping into this ancient, into the ancient teachings of the masters of the ancient times, and then absorbing yourself into that energy and participating just by watching, or we got to actually feed the animals, give them an offering of some foods that they like, and just merging with them. And I could feel the divine energy coming through these animals. And I was sitting there like my scientific mind and my logical mind going, wow, this is really strange that I'm doing this, but it's also incredible what I'm feeling. So I'm going to go with that. It's not a thinking thing. So it kind of helps you to get out of your logical mind, out of your rational mind, and then just be in that moment and observe what is going on. And I was a bit scared, too, because the horse was really acting up, and it was kicking up and bucking up. And I thought, oh, my God, somebody's going to get hurt here. And so I don't know if I even really want to go near this animal. And then the elephant is so huge, and it could just stomp me and with the swing of his trunk. But so, you know, all those funny things were going on in my mind. And so I was like, oh, how do I relate this to my life? And it is. It's like when I came back from India after being there for several months, and I came back and I saw all the things in my life that maybe would have been a little bit scary for me to manage and to face and to deal with. You know, I had that energy coming through and saying, oh, well, that's just, you know, that's not going to really be crushing me too much. Or, you know, hey, I fed an elephant up close and personal, and it could have stomped on me, and it didn't. So you have to trust in the divine that you're so protected from the big, elephants in your room or in your life, and you need to do something about it and get rid of them. So, that allows more positive energy to come in so that you can create more wealth in your life. Whether it's financial wealth, that's one, of course. Everyone needs money to do everything in life. That's the currency. But it's the consciousness and the will and the desire and the passion to want it and deserve it, to have that deserving openness that, as Derwin said, I'm inviting this money consciousness to come in, and then it just comes, boom, it's there. Not that you should go out and buy lottery tickets because, hey, you know, maybe that's not going to be good because you'll be wasting too. So just be in that moment that the divine is saying to you, you know, here's where you'll bring wealth into your life. And not just wealth of, again, from the financial aspect of it, but the wealth of the consciousness, the true wealth. As Dr. Pillai says, the true wealth is spiritual wealth. Not to space out, but to use that wealth and to apply that knowledge in your life where you create opportunities for people to come and support you, to offer you a new job, a new opportunity, to bring to your awareness, hey, this is a good investment for you. And then not only doing that, but checking it. Check with the astrologers. Like Erwin had said, I have a strong Mars and a strong Mercury, and those are related to the archetypes. So find out what your strong planets are. And then find out what divine archetypes really resonate with you, and they will start to guide you, because on some level you had this, you wanted to be born into this lifetime to have this energy, or, and you can call it, you know, divine gifts. And you just didn't even know that how to use these divine gifts until this point, right? Just as an Olympic athlete would never, ever, they always say, I would never, ever see myself doing this unless someone had recognized me, as in their family member, parents, or their friend, or their coach. And then that led to the next thing, to the next thing, and all of a sudden they're on the podium getting the gold, right? So it's like you don't even know what your divine birthright is, but there are clues. And then with Dr. Pillai's teachings and his services offered, the astrologers, the Vedic astrology is just, it's called Jyotish. Jyotish means light. It sheds light onto, or gives you more intelligence on your life, and gives you, like, it's not like a predictive, it can be, although it just, if you go to it and you say to the astrologer, what are my good planets, how can I make them really empower me, what are my bad planets, how can I make them to be neutral so they don't affect me in a bad way, once you have that knowledge, you will just keep moving towards communing more and more with those archetypes, and then those archetypes will lead you, that energy will lead you to whatever it is that you need to do. Because that's your talent, that's your gift, that's your divine right to express it in this lifetime. So that's what I wanted to say about heads up. I got really excited there. Sorry about that. So if you wanted to interrupt me, and you didn't, you can go ahead and do that now.
It's Rita.
Yes, who's this?
This is Dia in Atlanta.
Hi, Dia. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to hear from everybody. I was wondering where Mr. Erwin was the last time I heard him speak. I think he had a surgery or something, so I was wondering how he was doing. So it was good to hear his voice, and I want to just say thank you to him, Erwin, and Shanti for sharing their stories today. And I wanted to encourage them and others that this forum that you and Dr. Pillai have opened up to us is always a safe place to share no matter how unbelievable we think our personal story is, because I found it quite interesting that you kind of opened the door for him by saying that you wanted him to share something, and I have not specifically heard you do that for him or anyone that I could think of in a while, if at all. And so I felt like because of the way that he felt about that particular situation, I felt like God wanted him to share that with us, and he used you to prompt him to pull that out, because it was not only for his benefit, but it was for somebody else on this call that needed to know that you need to, when you hear the guidance, when you hear, when you, what's the word I'm looking for, when you get these promptings, inner promptings, or you might hear an inner voice telling you to do something or go somewhere or, you know, or speak to someone that you wouldn't normally do, if you act on it, if you feel good about acting on it and you do it, it can happen in that instant. It can happen in like a unbelievable situation, but that's the way God is. And then I think we, as in our human nature, we put God in this little box that we are in as humans. And sometimes we forget that God is omnipotent, and he's everywhere at all times and in all things, and he can move as quickly as that, just like the wind. And sometimes, like Erwin said, we have to step outside of ourselves and just be in the moment and follow through with the actions, sometimes even to the point where we forget that we're in the moment, you know, more like we're watching ourselves in a movie and we don't know how we got there or how we came to have it, but here it is, and you just go back to God and thank God and say, you know, it's God showing you that it's not you, it's me in you. And when you follow him, you can do, like you said, like in the scriptures it says, you can do these things and greater if you follow my teachings. And I just felt like that was such an encouraging blessing for me to hear him share his story, no matter how unbelievable he thought it was. And as far as with Shanti, I thank her for sharing her story, because it was just empowering to hear her voice, how she felt. And I felt like it's a shift that she needed, and I felt empowered just to hear that she felt that way. And I feel like you told her, that she should neither feel either good nor bad by what she did, but recognize that it's a shift that was needed for her to move forward to the next phase of her life. And it doesn't mean that she has to be this person's enemy from here on out, but it needed to be that kind of situation in order to move them both forward in whichever direction that they go. So I just felt so full of for hearing everybody else's story that I'm just thankful, and I'm grateful that we have this forum, this environment that we can meet at, even though we can't physically be with each other, but that we can be a blessing to one another through these calls. So I'm just grateful for that.
Oh, well, thank you for your sharing, Dia, and it's always great to hear from you. And I appreciate, too, that you saying, you know, you've not heard me, you know, asking people to share. And it's usually because it's not needed at that time. Trust me, when we're in, you know, formal programs, I'm always prompting people, come on, share.
Right.
So But it's, we're opening up to whoever is joining whenever, at whatever point. So it is great that I will be encouraged more myself to just go for it. And if the person is receptive to share, that's fine. If they don't, that's fine too. But like you said, it's almost like the divine inside, or God inside, or goddess inside of us is just saying, you know, share this, because it's not just about you. It's about getting beyond you and then empowering others. So when you said that you were empowered, that is just such a great gift, because how else would we be in this time, at this moment in time, be able to get so full of inspiration and empowerment and, you know, courage and strength and all the things that sort of are available to us at this point in time during Navaratri if we don't speak about it and if we don't share with others? So it's great, and I'm so happy to be able to you know, hear from everyone and be open to. I never know what this call is, what's going to happen on this call. So it's like we all have really, really great karma. And mm-hmm. How do you have that every day in your life is you can practice it here, and then maybe it can spill out and it can be happening everywhere after that.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Did you want to share anything about your week this week with the goddess?
Well, I always have eventful weeks after we have these calls, because I feel like they just spur me on and push me forward, because a lot of things that I always meant to participate in, but when it was just me by myself, I would talk myself out of it, because I would, you know, just think, well, maybe I won't be accepted there, or maybe I just shouldn't, or maybe I'm just, you know, going off the deep end somewhere, what have you. But when I come on these calls and I know that, you know, it's not just me. There are other people all over the world that are tuning in, and it's like you said, it's just our time, and this is the path that God has given us to follow at this time, and the information that we needed to get to our next place. So for me, last year when Navaratri came for the fall,
mm-hmm.
it came and it went, and I knew about it. I was aware of the events that were going on, but I didn't really put too much thought into it for those reasons we discussed earlier. This year, during the spring Navaratri, it really was like heavy on my mind that I need to get out there, and I need to interact in the places that I know, the places that I normally would go, and I always miss out on this particular religious event, and I always talk myself out of it any other time. So this time I didn't put too much thought to it. I just knew every day that I had the opportunity that I was going to participate. So I ended up being able to participate in the first three nights, which were dedicated to Goddess Durga, and at my local temple. Every day for the whole nine nights, they have been having a puja sponsored by a different devotee. So the first three nights I was able to go, and I just, each night, it was like I was meeting new people for the first time, but these were the same people that had always been there. You know, it was like people were like, wow, I haven't seen you before, but it was like we were always there. And it's just, this was the time that we became visible to one another, if that makes sense. And like we were saying last week, the light that is in me started to shine. People started to see the light, because then I started recognizing my own light. And so I made all these friends that they were always there, and I was always there myself, but now we have established a relationship, and even people that I had been surface friends with, we established a closer bond. And it was like that had always been my prayer, because being here in a metropolitan city, it's a lot harder to make real friends like you would when you were a kid. Most of us are professionals in our late 30s and 40s, and it's just not so easy to meet together because we live in places so far removed from the city because it's convenient. So I just felt like that was Goddess Durga's way of making the shift for me to move me closer to where I needed to be as far as being able to establish these friendships that are actual, real friendships and not just surface friendships where I see you on Sunday and we say hi and then we go on about our week. So I felt good about that. And I had intended to go all 9 days, but I wasn't able to after the first three. So I spent the next half just at home meditating, and I was able to spend some more time with my cat, whom I love so much. And I sometimes don't even want to leave the house and do things because I'm like, I can't take my cats, and they can't. They always want to be around me and where I am. And so I make a point to just be there and spend time with them. So I felt like that was Goddess Lakshmi's way of telling me that that was what I needed. Those were the bonds that I needed to do during her particular 3 days. So my cats, they enjoyed it, and we had a good time, and it was time to go. They didn't want to leave. They stayed with my mother during the week because I work at night. So they did not want to leave, and it was a mess trying to get them back and all, but we had a good time. And so I was really looking forward to coming to the call this week. And I came full, but when I started hearing everybody else's story, I was like, I'm so full, I don't even want to share. I just feel full from listening. Aww. And all. But I realized that, you know, it's always something that somebody has to say that somebody else needs. So.
Oh, well, that's fantastic sharing, and that's the Goddess. So by all the different experiences that everyone has, the Goddess or the God, the archetype speaks to us in a way that we can relate to and understand. And I'm so happy that for you, to me, when you said Durga's energy and you wanted to work with creating relationships, that's what Durga does. She creates relationships. So she was moving through you and she guided you, and it worked out beautifully. Mm. And, you know, then the staying at home with your cats is like you shared in other calls, Dia, that, you know, you're working on savings consciousness, and that's what Lakshmi does. She wants you to conserve, save your energy, keep it in, you know, keep your bank account in savings consciousness. So, again, she's Lakshmi speaking to you in your way that you want to relate to her right now. And then experience joy, because Lakshmi is all about happiness on the earth plane. So we're all here to enjoy life here. And to not someday down the road, but to appreciate. And for you as the kitty cats, you know, spending time, that gives you tremendous joy. And when you feel that joy, they can go away or they can be there, and you still have that joy. You can go away or be there and still have that joy. So it's the energy and how you can relate it in your life. And so I'm curious to see what Saraswati will bring you this week.
Yeah. And, you know, it's quite interesting you mentioned about Lakshmi and the savings consciousness, because I had not put much thought to that, but during the 3 days that I was going to temple for the Durga Puja, I would always take a fruit offering and maybe a flower offering. And I don't even think about when I go and I purchase those things, because I look at it as, those are my offerings, so I don't need to track that spending. But at the same time, I realize that it doesn't matter if I'm working toward the savings consciousness, I still need to track everything. And so I felt like that that turned on a light for me when you said that, because I felt like that had been a thought on my mind. Am I overspending? Am I spending before I'm counting? And am I keeping track? And I felt like, well, maybe that's why what happened to prevent me from being able to attend the other the other days, so that I could sit back and reflect and start making sure that I was keeping track of everything, so that I could continue on toward my ultimate financial goals. And I wanted to make sure I said that, as far as when Urban was talking about Dr. Pillai, I know for me, one of the things that drew me to Dr. Pillai's teachings was that before coming, I had read Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came across Dr. Pillai, instantly I felt like Dr. Pillai was my rich dad. Like, my father and I, we have a good relationship, and I've always looked at my father as my best friend, and he's always taught me how to manage money through his actions, but he's never actually sat down with me and gone over how to do these things. And I felt like when I encountered Dr. Pillai, he was the rich dad in my story who sat down and showed me how to go about doing these things and working toward this millionaire mindset, in addition to doing my spiritual stuff. Because, like I said last time, I always felt like it had to be either or, and it couldn't be both. And also for me, it was just a point of wholeness when I came to Dr. Pillai. He's the same age as my father, so I look at them as like two sides of the same coin for me. And I feel like that's why my love is so strong for Dr. Pillai, because he's like the other side of my coin for my father. And I look at him as the consciousness that I want to develop both spiritually and materially. And then I look at my natural father as just the physical manifestation of that those teachings and that love that I have. And I'm thankful for all of it.
Well, beautifully said, Thea. And I'm so happy that you're really inspired by Dr. Pillai's teachings, and that you're using them and seeing the practical results in your life. And of course, all your sharings are always so inspiring for others. So thank you so much again.
And thank you for everything that you do.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's a pleasure, for sure. It's a pleasure. So did you want to say anything else, Dia, before we go?
Not really. I will say one last thing. I share the same birth star as Lord Rama, so I'll be very anxious to tell you all what happens this week. So
great. Well, tell us how it goes for you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Okay. Have a good week. Bye bye.
Okay. You too. Bye bye. All right. Any other questions, comments, experiences that you want to share before we wrap up? It was a beautiful call today. Again, reiterating what everyone has shared during this call is that the greatest or the theme that everyone is, that pervades through these calls, and not just this one but every week, is that Dr. Pillai, when we have the gratitude, the attitude of gratitude for a spiritual master in this age and stage of our lives, and in this modern world, where there is times where we can feel very disconnected, not only from one another, but really when we disconnect from our higher self, our divine self, that is represented by all these different energies that are available in the spiritual realms and have been there since times immemorial and have been, you know, channeled through the different religious or cultural beliefs throughout the ages, is that when we tap into that energy, the only reason we come back again and again and again, as Dr. Bly says, and many masters who have gone before, is the goal in life is to realize God. So not realize him or her outside, but from within, and cultivate that energy and allow that light to shine in our lives. And it's not so that we will be like attracting attention like a superstar or anything like that, you know, celebrity or something like that, although that can happen too. If that is your path and that's your dharma and that's your destiny, go for it, because that's what the divine is saying to you. I gave you this gift, this divine birthright, so go do that. Or if it's through business, go do that. If I've given you the gift to express yourself as a you know, a teacher or as a politician or as a someone who works in the bank or someone who is a mother or a father or someone who is a child who's going to teach the parent. It's all the teachings of the divine or the God shining or the goddess shining through us and creating that intelligence, whatever it is that we're doing at whatever time in our life. And we always have, when we have that attitude of gratitude, then it's like when you say thank you to someone, they light up. And because not only were they acknowledged for the gesture, but also they can expand that gratitude inside of themselves, and then that pours out, so they want to do it again for someone. So the attitude of gratitude, being thankful for everything we have, good or bad, doesn't matter. When we have that attitude, especially towards the master who has gone before us and realized God and is just so willing selflessly to share that with others, oh my God, the whole world will change in a very beautiful and divine way, no matter what is going on in the world around us. We all can have that ability to realize God. So keep realizing it, keep cultivating it, enjoy the goddess Saraswati for the next couple of nights, bring that joy into your life, bring creative thoughts forward, and it's always a choice. Are you going to think a bad thought, a silly thought, degrading thought, a gossipy thought, or I'm right thought, or are you going to have, hey, what can I create in this moment that's going to be really exciting and inspire other people? Woohoo! Right? And you just go with that and click it, click it, click it. Every time it comes, you just zap that thought out that's non-productive and then bring in a new one. And you'll always have a goal, because every day you got to wake up and do something. So wake up and be inspired, and allow the goddess to show you that which is what you can create. Rama's birthday is a time to really celebrate God, being that God and recognizing it in you this week. And then we'll talk to you next Sunday, and with Radha giving us her Vedic astrology presentation on the sun entering Aries, and then we'll have a fabulous start to the new year, the new Vedic new year, next week. So God bless everyone, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.